This is the Leading Second podcast, where we're on a mission to raise up uncommon church builders and be the kind of leaders our pastors would kill to have on the team. The Leading Second podcast releases every Thursday morning, so hit subscribe, share this with your team, and let's join Pastor Brandon Stewart for another vital conversation for all of us who lead from the middle. Hello, Leading Second. Welcome back to season 4 of the podcast, episode 94. And today we have a great conversation. We're going to sit down with John Morgan and talk about transitioning well. It's going to be so good. But before we do that, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. If you lead in a spot where you're in the proverbial second chair, you lead, but you're not in charge, welcome to this community of uncommon church builders. So glad you're here. My name is Clark. I'm faithfully serving in my local church as well as helping out here at Leading Second. And one of the things I love most is connecting with people in a similar spot who have a similar heart for their church, for their pastor, for the kingdom of God. And when we were at Team Church just recently, we got to ask a few questions to our Leading Second tribe who came and saw us at our Leading Second booth at Team Church. So here are a few highlights from our conversation with some Leading Second tribe members.
Here with Aaron,
Nate,
Rayanne,
Ricardo,
Seth, Katie. What's kind of stirred up in you over the past year?
You know, I think this past year has just shown me how creative God is. You know, I had the notion that like God is sovereign over everything, not just Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
But it's really showed me like wherever the saints are communing, coffee shops, living rooms, like wherever we could all of last year, like God showed up.
I think God stirred up in me more of a passion for the local church. More than ever, people are looking for meaning. For purpose. People are lonely. And man, the local church really is, I think, more than ever empowered to really lead the way, to reach out to people, to give them meaning, to point them to Christ.
What is your heart for your pastor right now and your church moving forward?
One thing I love about Leading Second is that it's really helped me identify that it's not really about me.
The way that I want to support our pastor in this season is leaning in closer, understanding his heart even more, being able to articulate it, both in word and in culture, right?
Yeah.
In our church, so that it just continues to push that mission and vision forward.
And it allows us to be able to put ourselves away and really just be a support and be a cheerleader and be a champion for the vision of our pastor.
Being a second cheerleader, leading from the middle, if you had to narrow it down to one thing, is your favorite part?
I love just being able to trickle down the vision of our pastors.
So I find that leading in the middle is probably one of the coolest things that you would get to do, because not only do you have the opportunity to lead and share and kind of cut your teeth in ministry, you know, but we get to glean from some of the greatest leadership and those who have pioneered the way before us.
What is God laying on your heart for this next season?
Really looking to encourage and empower future leaders. I'm really asking him to give me eyes for that.
There's something that God wants to impart to his church. And I know that as leaders, it's going to require us to humble ourselves, to be objective, to learn, to be self-aware, and also to pioneer and continue to pursue moving church forward.
Hey, I just want to encourage you, when we say that we want to connect with you, we mean it. We truly do. I want you to reach out to our Instagram or maybe email us, find our website, and just introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and where you serve. And if you have a listener question, maybe you have a question that's on your heart that you're trying to wrestle through, ask us, and you might be featured in a future segment. Well, without further ado, I want to jump into this conversation with John Morgan, where he talks about transitions and transitioning well. So let's listen to John Morgan and Pastor Brandon Stewart.
Well, John, welcome back to the podcast today.
Thank you for inviting me to be here. I'm excited.
I think you have our longest episode on record.
I'm climbing that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's a good thing to climb. Like that was the one, he never knows when to shut up episode. Was that
no,
the
one? No, it wasn't that. Okay. It was the so good we kept it running.
Oh, okay. That's good.
No, I'm so glad you're back. Your voice matters. In my life, as I've said previously, I learned so much of the God revelation I feel like I have in my life toward Leading Second. You architected so much of it. So thank you for your voice. And I know countless leaders you've worked with would echo all that. So we love you and your family to us.
Thank
at Leading Second, glad to have a really important conversation today. And I'm also joined by Kelly Goff.
Hey, hey.
Kelly.
From Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, yes. Love Leading Second. Love being a part of this today.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. And
I'm not glad she's here. She's the smartest one at the table now. I was potentially going to sound intelligent.
Kelly, what's your role at your church?
Campus pastor. Yes, campus pastor. I'm excited to be a part of this conversation today because I was a youth pastor for 10 years before I transitioned to campus pastor. So just
awesome.
It's just exciting.
And John, maybe tell us what you're up to right now in ministry.
Still itinerating, still traveling, training, but we're in the potential of taking a church on in Washington, D.C. area.
It's so
cool. Just a couple of weeks out from finding out whether that's going to be a reality or not.
Absolutely amazing, but that means you're going over the dark side.
I am heading to the dark side. To every number two out there, I apologize. You now how Jesus felt when Judas betrayed him.
I love it. Hey, today I wanted to have a life-saving conversation for somebody. And I know that sounds very dramatic saying it that way, but actually, I had a version of this conversation early on in ministry. A mentor spoke some of these things into my life, and, I feel like they have genuinely saved my life in moments where I could have gone really wrong. And I wanted to offer that to our Leading Second community. This might be a podcast you hear today, but maybe we'd come back to at some point when you find yourself in a unique season. So today we're going to talk about transition, and we're going to talk about how to navigate healthy transitions. Because if you aren't in a transition now, you probably have one coming at some point in your future. Transition is a part of ministry, and navigating transition in a healthy way matters. And I think too, John, I think you would speak to this. Just in the local church, we've been in a season of unprecedented transition. I mean, transition's been everywhere the last 18 months. And I think that's why you were saying this on the way in today. Our churches have even felt stuck or declining in this season is because we've just seen so much transition.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges of the 2020 season into 2021 is, you know, statistically, they say around about 20% of people leave your church every year. Mm. And so, but, you know, in a growing church, that 20% is replaced. So if your church is growing by 20%, then you've replaced, you actually grow 40% because you've replaced the 20.
Right, right.
And another 20 have come in. And so as leadership teams process that transition out, it's not as visible or as taxing because you're celebrating all the people that have come in, you know, 40%.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, so if a church of 100, it's at 20%, it's 20 people. And so it's like nearly every week you're hearing somebody leaving. In a church of 1,000, that's 200 people.
Yeah.
And so this people, it's like everyone seems to be leaving. Mm. If you flip that, a church of 1,000, now you've got 400 people coming in. And so there's multiple people coming in. So you're celebrating the intake more than the exit. So what 2020 did, because we're not connected, and we can't see them in the building, we can't see new people in the seats, you just got this taxing feeling like, people are only leaving.
Everyone's leaving, yeah.
Everyone's leaving. And so that's what become taxing, because you didn't have the inflow in that season. But it may not have been any more than any other season.
Right.
That's right. Get us started by giving us the brief overview of just kind of your ministry journey, because you've actually had several different seasons of ministry. You've been a number one previously.
Yeah.
You've itinerated, so you've been your own boss, you know, in a sense. You've been on staff actually here at my home church, at Champion Center. I guess maybe just kind of talk to us about your journey up to this point, because going back to the number one role wouldn't actually be new for you in a sense.
Yeah. So I have a lot of transition. I was thinking about this just yesterday. I've transitioned out of churches as a number two, or when I was in Auckland, and I'd come out of my own church pastoring and base with my friend Paul De Jong. I wasn't on staff. I was just based there and traveled out of there. But even in that role, I said to him, what do you want me to do? How can I serve here?
Right.
And so I ran the whole kingdom part of their church, which was their missions, which was their church planning, which was their conferences. Transitioned out of Champion Center to Chicago, out of Steve Muncy's church when I was in Chicago. Their youth pastor, I transitioned out of there to Itinerating again. We're based with probably one of my best friends, Pastor Kent Muncy. My wife is his executive pastor, and we're potentially facing a transition out of there. And I was thinking the other day, in every season of transition, all the pastors whose churches I've stepped out of, even if you go back to Hillsong when I was there as a youth guy and planted a church out of Hillsong, I still have a great relationship with every one of those pastors.
It's so good.
So Pastor Kevin coming out of here, Pastor Kevin is still one of my best friends in the world. I know I could call on him in any time I needed help. Same with Steve Muncy, same with Kent. Well, that's what we were trying to create with Kent. And it's going to be, we've been friends. We've already said in the middle of this transition before it started, we've been friends 20 years. Our goal is to be friends for at least the next 20. Mm. So same with Paul De Jong, Brian Houston. So none of those transitions have ended badly.
That's so good.
Because we've been determined to make it end well. And then even transitioning my own church, resigning as a senior pastor, making sure that that was set up for the next guy, that he could take over well. And none of that happens by accident. You have to be incredibly deliberate. Say in the scenario, Anna and I have the right to make a decision to leave City Church. That's our right.
Sure.
We have the right to do that. Once we make that decision, then we hand the transition into Pastor Kent's hands, because I have the right to decide I want to leave, but I'm not convinced I have the right to call the shots on how I leave.
So good.
That's really good.
So if I can get to that, and I don't have the right to call the shots on how he's going to respond to my leading.
Yep.
And so so people are saying, when's Anna leaving? You're going to take on this church. When's Anna going to go? And I go, I don't really know at the moment. We haven't walked that far with, number one, knowing it's definite. So it's no point making an exit plan unless it's definite.
Yep.
When it becomes definite, then Pastor Kent, he may say, okay, well, Anna can finish tomorrow. Mm. And we've got to be good with she doesn't go back into the office.
Right.
Yep.
I helped a couple in with Jonathan Brozozog's church in Minneapolis.
Yeah,
and,
great church.
And so there was this young couple, and they felt called by God to go back to their parents' church, which, it's fair enough. They get to decide that. So he called me, and he said, how do we process that? And I said, well, they probably don't need to come back. Mm. They can probably leave today, pay them for 2 months, give them 2 months' pay, and say, well, you can finish today. Well, then that young couple called me, and they're all angry and crying, and I can't believe. And, I said, well, you resigned. You told him, we don't want to be here anymore. God's calling us away. And so we released you. Like, you should be like, thank you, Pastor, And but he told us not to come back. I said, well, because you're leaving. You why would you need to be in any more conversations about the future of the church?
Right.
Growth of the church, and why would we want you in a meeting creating work for something that you're not going to be able to follow up with the work? And you didn't make a decision to leave today.
Yep.
You told us that you were leaving. You've been in that conversation in your own head for a couple of months.
Yep.
And so you're already exiting. Mm. So you're not going to really add too much more value to the organization. Why don't you go? And then they can pay you for the next 2 months, and you're earning double money. Like, it seems like a win-win.
I'm so glad we're talking about this today. I think people can already tell that we're going to be taking a different angle than you may have heard or seen modeled in other places. Here's something I think is important, John, for me to bring out is I have heard it taught, and I have seen the fruit of this in my life, that transition is something you have to think about a long time before you're ever there. You have to set your mind to it before you ever find yourself in a moment of transition. When I heard someone teach on transition, I was happy where I was. I was I think 2 years into youth pastoring, you know, kind of my first opportunity, and I was happy and life was good, but I stored it. And then when I needed it about a year and a half later, it was there. And I think I have probably two or three, you know, major transitions for my life. And like you, both went exceptionally well, but I think it's because I set my mind to it. And I, because once you're in it, it emotions hit, pressure hit, finances hit, you know, the opportunity, maybe you're going to adds something into the mix, and it can go tragically wrong, and bridges get burned.
And they usually do.
Sure, sure.
They usually go terrible. We're horrible at transitioning. It's in the corners of a race that there's most danger. And in the transitions in life, it's even like a church service. The worst parts of a church service are the transitions.
Right.
Because people don't think them through. They don't think they're important. 100%. And so they end up with big seams in the church service. So we even got to think about how we transition from worship to greeting. Because we don't transition from worship to greeting, and you get up there from the worship song to the greeting, you can tell the people haven't thought it through, because I'll say this. Oh, I don't really feel like we've touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Can we sing that song again? So we can just enter into a bit more worship. What they're really saying is, oh man, I didn't think about this transition. Can we sing that song again until I feel comfortable about transitioning? That's what they're saying. That's why they all say the same lame thing. So, and that's the same as transitioning in church life. We are going to experience change. And if I'm a number two, I may experience one or more of those changes in my life. So when that change comes, How do I set myself up for a win, and how do I set the church up for a win so this doesn't end up bad for anybody?
Well, and on that, I love that. And being so big on honor and leading Second Community, being so big on honor, for a person that's coming out of a number two, knowing that that's their next step, number one, young, like, what would you say? Because I feel like in our culture right now, honor is so not existent. What would be your advice for a young number two that is knowing that they're transitioning into a number one, to do that in an honoring way to their senior pastors, to their current church?
Great question. Or even in like your scenario. So you went from being youth pastor to an executive pastor role or a campus pastor.
Right.
So how am I making those transitions? I think, or going from a number, like in my role, going to go from being I'm not really on team, but I'm based there, to a lead role. So the first consistent thing would be in the transitions that I've walked through, Pastor Paul DeYoung is still the senior pastor. I'm not there. Haven't been there for 20 years. Pastor Kevin Gerald is still here as the senior pastor. I'm not here. Haven't been here for 15 years. Pastor Steve Muncy is still the same. Pastor Kent Muncy will stay on. The consistent thing is they're all senior pastors of those churches still. And the other consistent thing is I'm not there.
Yeah.
So they, because they're going to be there longer than you, honor says, I'm not going to be here. So I need to honor the person, the man or woman of God that is selling their life.
Yeah.
100%
to make this thing happen.
So good.
I've had a very, like, my time at Champion Center was probably the funnest, most enjoyable season of ministry to date that I loved. And I've loved every season, but Pastor Kevin and I had a unique relationship. And so it was a fun season, but it's a season. My season at Family Christian Center, at City, all those are seasons change.
Right.
We go from winter to spring.
Right.
We go from spring to summer, summer to fall. So seasons change, and it's okay for seasons to change, but you've got to plan out. I'm already thinking about, what am I going to wear this winter?
Right.
You know, I can't wear summer clothes in winter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the way you honor is to realize, okay, I'm leaving, they're staying. I've had the privilege of serving. So how do I make sure that all the work that I've done doesn't come undone?
Yeah.
So here's the hardest thing for people to do. God's told me to leave this church. Okay. So
yeah,
I'm going to transition out. So God's asking me to do what? He's asking me to leave the church. What's the church? The church is people. So God's asking me to leave the people. So my transition is not an exit from a building. My transition is an exit from people.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I can only prove. So when God asked me to resign South City Christian Life Center, and I had 8 years of prophecies on that. I went to my senior pastor, Brian Houston, who was, you know, an apostle over my life. And I said to him, Pastor Brian, I feel like God's calling me to resign my church. Here are all the words that I've had over an 8 year period. This is what you said 8 years ago. This is what, if you tell me to stay, I'm staying. I will not resign this church unless you emphatically validate that God is speaking to me.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then I'll resign. And his immediate thing was, oh, I don't really know what he said, you know. And so, and then later that night, it was, you know, like, yeah, I think God's speaking to you. And so that was the permission for me. And then when I resigned the church, Pastor Phil Pringle over C3 Church in Australia, I asked him, Pastor, what can I do to make the best setup for the future? And he gave me that advice. He said, just remember, God told you to leave the church, God told you to lead people, not a building. So when you disconnect, don't be calling the people.
Yep. Right.
Don't be following up to see how they're doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Walk right away. So you got to understand,
so good.
I've been there a decade of my life. Those people, most of them got saved under my ministry.
Yeah.
They got baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. I married them. I visited them in hospital. I give a decade of my life to pastoring them.
Right.
But then God told me, leave. So I've told this to people. They're like, oh, you're telling me I shouldn't call people? I'm like, no, I'm not telling you shouldn't call people. God did.
Can't argue with that.
If God told you to leave the church,
right.
If God told you to leave the church, God said, leave the people.
Yeah.
It's true.
Don't be angry at me that I'm telling you don't call them. But my heart's connected. Yeah, well, have that conversation with God. Why didn't he leave you there?
Yeah.
Because you can't set the next person up for a win if you're on the sideline.
That's so good.
And I had assistant pastors leave my church, take a church down the road, and then for the next 2 years, anybody that got upset or angry at any decision was being filtered by his consistent conversation.
Yep.
So he became like the safe exit people to go to. And it was taxing on me. I'm like, dude.
Right.
So I didn't want to be that guy.
Right.
I did not want to be that guy. And I remember when I left here, I had a young guy from the church call me. And, you know, the new youth pastor was making some decisions. He's not like you. And I'm like, bro, he's a youth pastor. Shut up. I don't want to hear your conversation. Like, talk to him about it. I'm not having this conversation. He's good. He's doing a great job. Support him. Back him. I'm not having this conversation with him anymore. Don't call me. I love you, but don't call me. I'll see you at Team Church.
Right.
So good. So good.
What would you say to the leader? Because I know you have this conversation a lot. What would you say to the leader who comes to you and says, well, God told me that I'm supposed to do X, you know, I'm supposed to leave or I'm supposed to transition. How do you help people process, I guess?
A God told me?
A God told me moment.
Well, number one, I think God, I said, I felt like God called me specifically with words out of pastoring. And even in this move to Washington, I believe there are words that I can show you to and scenarios and prayers that God, so I can track it. So number one, I do believe that God calls people out.
That's right.
But if God calls you out, it can be tested.
Yes.
So I always ask 5 questions. Number one, okay, you're leaving. Are you hurt? Did we do anything to disappoint you? Did we do anything to set up this potential God told me? Because if you're hurt, upset, angry, disappointed, let down, feel betrayed or whatever, then the your soul is compromised. So the water going into Flint, Michigan is totally healthy. But when it went through the pipes going into Flint, Michigan, it got contaminated and people drank, you know, lead water. So your soul is the pipes between heaven and your physical world.
Yep.
And so if those pipes are contaminated, I might be hearing what sounds like
so
God
good.
Told me, but they're going to be contaminated. That's why, you know, somebody who's a soul is content. We're like with them, even with a mental illness or depression or anxiety or bipolar, can God speak to those people? Yes. Does God love them? Yes. But if they know they'd have that condition, they should, on their own safety, second guess it's God.
Mm.
So is there anything? People generally going to go, no, I'm good. This is God. Okay. So my next question is, did you just lie? Are you telling me the truth? Because if you have avoided the difficult conversation of being hurt, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying I've been doing this for 35 years.
Right.
And I've had conversations where people told me up front I'm good. Yeah. And then 45 minutes later said, well, yes, I am upset. I'm like, well, you could have saved 45 minutes of my life if you just said that at the beginning. So I'm just saying people tend to avoid hard conversations. Yeah. I want to give you an opportunity that would show that you're not hurt. So and then they're like, okay, so God told you. Okay, what did he say? Mm. Like, can you tell me the phrase? Because if God told me, like if Brandon said, I want you to get me a glass of water, and you say, well, what did he say? I'd say, well, Brandon said to me, hey, man, you know, if you got a moment, can you get me a glass of water? And that's how I knew Brandon was telling me, because he actually had a statement. So when God told me, what is he saying?
Good,
what's really the word? Good. Is there a prophecy? So again, when I said to Pastor Brian, God told, here's the prophecies, here's conversations, and this is what I felt like God was saying in that. This is what this scripture said. This is what this prayer said. Or when I went to Rhema Bible College, God told me almost audibly, go to Rhema Bible College. So anyone said, what did God say to you? He said, go to Rhema Bible College. That's how I knew, because I wasn't thinking about going to Bible college. It was very specific. That was the statement. So what did God say? Second thing, how did he say it? Was it audible? Did you hear the physical? Was it subliminal? Was it like for me going to Rhema Bible College, I was in a kitchen, I was a chef, carrying a pot from one side to the other. All I was thinking about is, don't drop this pot on you. That's what my head was at. And clear as you can hear me say these words now, I heard God say, go to Rhema Bible College. And that was an arresting moment. Is it prophetic? Is it in the word?
Yep.
Is it a dream? Yep. Was it circumstantial? Did you pray some things, God, if this is, you know, how did he say that? And then if you're my executive pastor or my, the more important your role is, the more God confirmations you want. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So for me, resigning as senior pastor of a church was an 8-year journey of these are all the words God's been saying over an 8-year period. You want multiple and counsel.
I was going to say, don't. My experience has been it usually comes through multiple people. Yeah. It comes over a period of time.
Yeah.
And unrelated people and events all make sense together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Something in
scripture's
there.
And then as it gets closer, it ramps up with it's starting to get like God's warning you ahead of time. He's sowing seed.
Right.
He's getting you prepared, and then, okay, this is the season, and he starts ramping it up. You should be able to point to all of that. So you know, how did he tell you? And the bigger the position, if you're an executive pastor, then, like for Anna, as an executive pastor, she carries a huge role for Pastor Kent. So this conversation about transition is not now. We've had this conversation with Kent for probably 5 years, not we're leaving.
Yes.
Yeah.
But – you know, this is what God's saying. This is what we're praying about. Nothing's happening. So we didn't blindside him with some fresh information. People are like, well, does Kent know? Like, he knew before I even went and visited the church.
Right.
Like, we didn't visit, play the role along, come back 6 weeks later and go, hey, I want to surprise you with the information I've had for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
To me, tell me what you think about this. If God's in the transition, you're not going to have to violate his word to do it. You're not going to have to slip in your character. If God's really in this and he's really leading and guiding you, you're not going to have to keep under the radar and do sketchy things. And
yeah, for sure.
I mean, because if he'll make a way for you with your pastor, with these moments, but if it's causing you to sin, to, you know, to violate your character, what you know to be right, I think you really got to stop and question, is God even in this?
Is in it, then you got to take the step of faith. Yes. So let's just take this whole journey in Washington. So we went to, just say we go to Pastor Kent week one, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing. This is what we feel like God's leading us to do, and we're going to pursue this. Well, the faith step in that is he could say, I don't want to keep having this conversation for the next 10 years. If this is not God, then Anna, we're going to find another role for you.
Mm.
Because I can't have you keep coming back to me every 6 months and saying, hey, I feel like God's leading us out again. So if we take the first step and tell, And I feel like God's doing it, and like God's speaking to me. The faith step by telling him that is now he has the thing to go, okay, let's journey this out and see what happens. And yeah. he may keep her on staff. Or he may say, you need to finish, we need to find another role for you. So when God tells you and you know that God's telling you and you're moving in faith, then you've got to trust that God's telling you. It can't be the ace card to manipulate the conversation. Yes. Like God told me, I'm not interested in what you're saying. And even when we went to him, we said, God's leading us this way. We had two options. This wasn't the only option. What do you feel like God's breathing on? And he said, I would investigate that. I wouldn't touch that. He said, I would investigate that. So what do we do?
Yep.
I follow what my pastor told me to
do.
I investigated that and dropped the other option. So the last question I always have for people will be, if God told you what authority did you run this word through to get confirmation?
Yes.
And if you're not hurt, why wasn't it me?
So good. So good.
Ooh.
Like if you're not lying on the first question I asked you.
Yeah, that slaps. That hurts.
Why did you run to Joe the pro? Because what they'll say is, oh, yeah, I had a confirmation. I went to Pastor Phil, who's got a home group of like eight people, but he's a real good man of God. And I ran it by, why you run it by Phil, who's not your pastor?
Right.
Why didn't you come to me as your pastor and tell me?
That is all too real.
Well, then, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
So what did I do to hurt you?
Right. Back to question one.
Back to question one.
And why did you lie?
Yeah.
And then the end of all that, especially if it's somebody in your church, I always say to them, I said, you know this will be tested.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? I said, well, if God told you, then you're going to leave the people.
Yep. Yep.
If you take a pocket of people with you, if this becomes divisive, if this becomes ugly, if you don't process it properly and don't leave the people and honor the ministry you've been investing in, you and I will both know two things. Number one, you boldface lied to me. You sat here today and you lied to me. I'll never tell anybody you lied to me, but you will know by the way you process this, whether you have integrity and whether you lied by how this thing goes down.
So
you have the right, you have the responsibility now at exiting to make sure there's as less, I wouldn't even say as less, zero capital collateral damage in this process. You have to own, I said to Anna, we have the right to choose to leave. We don't have the right to decide how we exit.
So good.
We submit that to our pastor and say, help us exit. With honor, with integrity. What do you need us to do?
That's so good. I know at our church we have a statement that came from our senior pastor that we'll always stand by open, honest, responsible dialogue. And I think in the sense of transition, like how that's exactly what you just said. Like to be able to come and sit openly, honestly, have responsible dialogue. That if there is a hurt, you're not holding that in because it's only going to it'll come out eventually. It's only going to cause more damage in the process. So I just think that's so good. And what would you, I don't know if you can even, if there's an answer to this, but just to encourage people to be willing to do that, because with that whole, like how we transition out is how we'll transition in to that next season. And I don't think people recognize the power in that.
And how you originally transitioned into your present position is as important as transitioning out and transitioning in.
Yeah, so
I think a lot of the exits out are bad because we didn't transition people in the right way. It's a little bit like my friend Pastor Marcus Meekham has a message he did at ILM this year called King in a Week.
Yeah, brilliant message.
And a brilliant message. And we overemphasize the – so I think people – and that you should track that down if you can.
Yeah.
I won't re-preach it. But I think people exit too quickly in. So when they exit out, it's bad. If you transition – when I came to Champion Center, it was a huge transition in because I had been a number one. And I hadn't been a number two for years. Even when I was a young man chefing, even though I was like number two on the list, I was running the restaurant. I'd run my own restaurants. I'd run my own kitchens. I pastored my own church. Then I resigned and pastored my own ministry. So I hadn't been under anybody. Pastor Ken was going to be my boss. He was going to, wasn't my pastor, but my boss. So my transition in here, we journeyed over 3 months of a lot of conversations about how I would position myself on the team, because he needed to, you know, he was taking a risk bigger than me. So it was a lot of honest conversation. So exiting, all those things, it's easier to exit out if you have a great relationship and you've entered into it the first time the right way.
So I'm going to add one more thing into that. And I've told my story in early podcasts about even how I ended up doing what I'm doing today. I was on staff at Champion Center for a lot of years, and my transition out was really quick, and it wasn't of my doing. It was actually some of the aftermath of the recession, and we had let a lot of staff go. And I think Pastor Kevin knew, we hadn't had the chance to have explicit conversations, but I think he knew that there was something else in me. I think I knew it. And looking back, of course, hindsight's always 20/20. So looking back, I can see how God was working in my life and God was working in my heart. I had a growing discontent, not for the house, not for him, just my role, you know, my seat on the bus. It wasn't my ultimate fit. I had a growing discontent. But one thing I'm thankful of, I've done a lot of things wrong in ministry, of course, as we all have, but one thing that I'm thankful for is that in that season leading up to an unexpected transition, I didn't let my heart get bitter. I didn't let my heart get filled with a bunch of crap and lies and, you know, doesn't he see this in me, or does it, you know, I really fought all of that. Because my transition happened in a moment. It happened. I got called into an office, and in 30 seconds, I'm off the staff, and I have to figure out how to respond to this. And what made matters even more complicated for me in that moment was that Pastor Kevin was extremely generous, and he actually said, because you've done nothing wrong, I'm actually going to release you if you want to go to another church. And if someone can have you on staff, and you've not disqualified yourself, you've not taken yourself off, I'll actually bless you. So I had like a ticket out even. And I have just minutes, or you know, felt like seconds to respond. And that was the moment where I blurted out, came from somewhere. I said, I'd rather volunteer here than be paid anywhere else. And that one line has probably blessed my life more than anything over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm still on volunteer staff today. I run Team Church Conference. It's opened up incredible doors for us in ministry. I have the best pastor in the world. I mean, it's been a dream, but I look back, I'm so thankful I didn't get poison in my heart in that season. Like I kept it off. I kept it out, because you're right. Some transitions will come for years and you're working on them and you're seeding the conversation, you're having the conversation, and then others, you know, you could find yourself in a minute and in a moment where you have to respond, and out of the overflow of the heart, your mouth is going to speak in that moment. And what you have stored, your life is going to be like a tube of toothpaste, and something's going to come out and you're never going to be able to get it back in, you know, at that moment. Yep. And I think for the person listening today, you know, no matter what what transition you feel like might be brewing up in you, the most important thing is your heart. Just keeping your heart clean, your heart pure right now, your heart pure toward your pastor, toward the church.
So good.
It will serve you well in these transition moments. John, last question. Talk to us, give us a bit of vision. What does a healthy transition look like? Like, what would be some characteristics of a transition that just goes exceptionally well, understanding all the intricacies of transition, maybe a few big rocks?
Yeah, I would say healthy transition starts with you knowing you're called by God. Mm. So when you're called by God, if you get in a situation like you're in, what you talked about, pastor walks in, we're transitioning here. So who called you to ministry? Was it Pastor Kevin or was it God? Mm. So if it's God, then you have to sit back and go, okay, I know God's got a plan. And you think about that. Had you not done that transition right well then, and not trusted God, we wouldn't be sitting at this table now.
Right, absolutely. Right.
And none of these people listening to this podcast would have this podcast.
Right. Yep. Right. Yep.
Because you'd just be some hurt little person yeah. in a small church and yep. probably have gone to 20 churches by now.
Yep.
And so when you trust God, you're like, it's a little bit like when the pandemic hit last year and you'd be in the same role. I make all my money on the road.
Oh, 100%. Traveling. 100%.
And then I have no ministry. No one's calling and everyone's scrambling
yep.
to do their own videos and no one's calling me.
Yep. Yep.
And so Anna was like, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I don't do what I always do. Just trust God.
Absolutely.
And, absolutely. You know, the pandemic took me by surprise. It didn't take God.
Right.
Yep. And so I'm going to trust him for my income. And then he just led all the way
yep.
up until June this year. And I didn't have anything in June, July, or August booked. And normally I'm a year out.
Yep.
But I've learned over 30-something years of ministry, if nothing is in there and I can't fill it, then there's a reason. And then this church that's looking for a pastor said, can you come?
Gosh,
could you preach once in June? I said, I can give you all of June. And they said, well, we'll take it. They said, can you do anything in July? I said, I can probably give you all of July. And they said, well, we'll take it. And so June and July filled with preaching my way into pastoring the church.
Wow.
And is that good? Yeah. I always had that moment, like if I can't fill it and there's nothing there. So you have to trust God. And again, if pastor asks you, your pastor's going to be there longer than you. That's just a reality. And so they're making decisions. So you have to trust God with your call. That would be the first thing I'd say. The second thing is whatever you're investing into, have a thought that I want to invest in something that lasts longer than me.
Mm.
So if I've spent the last, 4 years of ministry. So like one of the greatest thing for me coming back to Champion Center is walking in and seeing everybody that I pastored as a youth pastor on stage or on team or youth pastors or kids pastors or whatever on the stage, like here serving. So I want to make sure that I protect my exit could destroy that.
Yeah.
That's so true.
So good.
So why would I, it's a little bit like I built a garden in my house and then I sold my house and I went in before I sold it, I ripped all the plants out and said, take that, you new homeowners, you don't want to build a garden and tear it up. So I don't want to sow my life into a ministry and then destroy it on my exit.
Yeah. Right, right.
So good.
Just destroy it on my exit. So how can I leave and be healthy? I want to make sure I transition and keep my relationship. If I've had a relationship with my pastor and he's been my pastor, and God's calling me out, not me, God's calling me out, then I'm probably going to need his or her advice in the future.
Yep.
Right.
So how do I protect my relationship? And how do I keep honoring them as, and even becoming a pastor? So I'll pastor a church. I'll technically have the same title as Pastor Kevin, senior pastor, as Steve Muncy, senior pastor, as Kent Muncy, as Paul DeYoung. I'm going to have the same title, but they'll always be my pastors.
That's great.
So if I'm ever in Pastor Kevin's airspace, and I haven't been at Champion Center for 15 years, if I'm ever in his airspace, he's still my pastor.
That's great.
So I'm still watching to see, does he need that bag carried?
Right.
Yeah.
Can I open the door? You know, how can I honor? So I want to protect all of that for my future, because you're going to transition, but ministry is long.
Right.
Ministry is long and you're going to need that relationship.
Yeah.
So don't sacrifice all of that on the altar of the instant. And if you're not hurt, if all of this is like, if you can't do any of this, if you're like, I can't do any of that, that just seems crazy. Then I'm coming back to the first question. Okay,
so good.
Where did you get hurt?
So good.
And how can we seek to rectify all negatives in a positive way?
That's so good. John, thank you for being with us. Thank you. This has been so rich and so good. I always think of podcasts like this. You know, we're like 40 minutes in. If someone's still listening, they obviously needed this today.
Right.
You know, and I know there's like trendy podcasts. I don't consider mine one of them. I just wanted to have like a little church on a podcast here. So most people probably wouldn't do this. Would you just like right now pray for the person that's still listening? And if they needed something, they need God to show up. Would you just pray over them right now?
Yeah. Father, we just thank you for your presence in the room, whatever that room happens to be, and whether that's a room in the next few weeks or years away. Lord God, we thank you that time is not an issue for you. And so for that person listening that may be in a struggle or a transition and they're questioning, they're trying to work it all out, I thank you that you're not a God of confusion, that you can give clarity. And so make a way in the wilderness, make a way there where there is no way, clear their path, clear their mind, heal their spirit. Lord God, heal their soul, heal their mind, and put them in a position that they can do this. And so God, I pray that the decisions that they make will be fruitful. We know that the enemy comes in to try to create division and try to create harm, and he tries to get in and destroy your church. And we just decide today and make a choice today, we're not going to be a part of that division, and we're not going to be a part of that hurt, and we're going to do things right. And even if we're not treated well, we're going to be like David and just say, you know what? I'm not going to retaliate. I'm just going to trust you with my call, and realize that even the hurtful moments and the disappointing moments and the like, oh, I don't even get why they did that moment, are all setups to make us better leaders of the future. And so help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thanks, John.
For more information, check out leadingsecond.com. Follow us on Instagram @leadingsecond and join us on the Leading Second Collective on Facebook.